Dermot and Dave.
Conversation, crack,
and the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM.
The brutal murder of French woman Sophie Tuscan de Plantier near her holiday home in Skull has haunted West Cork for more than two decades. There have been numerous books published, most notably a very successful podcast titled West Cork. Well, now it's the turn of one of Ireland's most successful filmmakers, Jim Sheridan. Jim's project Murder at the Cottage, The Search for Justice, landed on Sky Crime and Now TV last night, and Jim is on the line to talk to us more about it. Good morning, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Dermot here, Dave's here as well.
Hey, Jim.
This has been something that you have been following for decades.
Two decades going into.
And what was it about this case that intrigued you so much versus anything else that's something that's ripe for storytelling?
What do you mean by that?
There's lots of stories in the world that Jim Sheridan could tell. I just wonder why this one is the one that you kind of left out at you.
You know, the easy answer to that is you don't know. Mm. When you start any kind of, even, you know, a relationship, you're not sure. You don't start saying, oh, this is the one for me. You know, you start going, God, why is this interesting and what is it about? And then gradually you're led into your own life, you know, and you're led to investigate your own fascination with the story. And the longer that goes on, you know, you might be, in my case, searching for God and not finding him, you know. Mm. And this, a story becomes an easy way to do that. Like, so you're for God, make it justice or the truth or whatever you want, you know.
Yeah. Do you think after doing the film, doing the documentary series, did you find yourself even more confused at the end, or did you feel like during the process you actually got to know the story a bit better, or by the end of it did you feel that, gosh, I guess we're no closer to finding out what really happened here?
No, I think we're closer to finding out what happened, and I think the documentary will have an effect of stimulating things that could lead it to a situation where there's a new type of investigation. What actually happened was that the case was closed down too quickly, maybe in a genuine belief that Bailey had done it. The police just focused on him. I would say from the minute he turned up at the scene of the crime that some police thought it's him, he did it, you know?
Mm. The access you have to people is amazing, and it really elevates the documentary above anything else that we've seen. Was it easy to get these people who are so tied to the case to talk to you?
Yeah, it took a long time. Like, we've been at this a good while, you know, and we'd various approaches, me to Bailey, Donald McIntyre to different people, you know, Niamh Riley to people. It was all different avenues of approach to get everybody, you know.
Mm. Talking about Ian Bailey, he obviously plays quite a prominent role in your series, and you do have, you know, quite in-depth conversations with him. There's one line stuck out for me as he's sitting beside the water in one episode, and he's reflecting on everything that's happened and, you know, the difficulties his relationship has endured. And he says, in some ways, I'm stuck between the doghouse and the jailhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have sympathy for Ian Bailey after having gotten to know him over making the series?
Yes, I do. Of course I do. You know, the actuality is, if somebody had been convicted of murder, they'd be well out of prison and on their merry way. So, in effect, he's been in a type of prison for 25 years, you know?
Mm.
And that's not something anybody would want, you know.
There's a bit of confusion this morning, Jim, in here. We were reading some of the newspapers saying that some of Sophie Toscan-Duplantier's family had requested for interviews and things to be removed from the series. But yeah, I was watching it myself on Sky and her parents were in it and her son was in it. Can you clear that up for us, what the story with that is?
Yeah, well, basically what you're watching there is archive footage that I didn't shoot.
Right.
So anything I shot... we took out because we were requested to, and you know, we didn't want to upset the family. Sky didn't want to upset the family, and like you have no alternative in that situation. You know, it's like that's a no win. You know, and it's hard to know. You know, if the family were, you know, united in that request, like there's no, the family is a thing that stretches and constricts depending on, you know, whether you're talking about the son and mother and father and brother, or then relatives and then uncles and then the Association for Justice for Sophie. And you know, it's not always a cohesive unit, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. There's a text in that says, I binge-watched Murder at the Cottage yesterday. It was so good and completely changed my view on what happened or didn't happen that fateful night. So many things in the show that were unknown to me at the time. It's an excellent watch. I think that's one of the key things for me, having gone through it as well, binged it over the weekend, is that there's so much more to the stories. You know, even if you have either listened to podcasts or read the papers or done whatever, like there's so much more in yours that you can learn from this entire process.
Yeah. Yes, and more to come, I would say, insofar as, you know, I'm doing what I can do within the remit of making a documentary for a terrestrial broadcaster, you know, who are fantastic to work with. But you do have rules of AVCOM and different regulations that apply to, you know, terrestrial broadcasters like Sky, the BBC, RTE, you know?
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have the same if you were on a streamer, you know?
Okay, so you could do different things then.
Mm. Well, no, you can say what you like.
Right.
And when you say there's more to come, what do you mean by that?
Well, I felt that so far, I did the investigation in Ireland, essentially, and tried to respond as best I could within that theatre of operations, but that there is an investigation to be carried out in France that was never carried out. The Irish police weren't allowed to speak to anybody in France. So how can you, like, you know, how can you do an investigation if that's the situation, you know?
And so you didn't get to investigate that as strongly as you'd like to, and does that mean there may be more episodes or a different documentary coming out? Yeah,
exactly. I didn't get to explore that. There were two reasons. One was COVID. You know, so it was really difficult. I got to France sometimes, but, you know, at last October, it kind of closed down, you know what I mean? Mm. And I think that I'm still very involved in the search for the truth here, you know?
Yeah. Mm.
Was there talk of DNA evidence, new DNA evidence, that has never really been investigated?
There was in the West Cork podcast in the last episode they did, Sam and Jennifer, who are both wonderful journalists and really decent people and who made a really great podcast, you know, which like anybody would be proud. It's probably one of the best podcasts ever made. And I suppose initially we might have been in some kind of, you know, I wouldn't say competition because that's a nasty word for something like the search for justice. But, you know, like everybody has their own theory and position. But I find it quite amazing that the Netflix card, their series Murder in West Cork, like, oh, hold on, wasn't there a podcast called West Cork, you know?
Yeah, and yours is called Murder at the Cottage, so they just seem to combine the two and come up with that.
Well, you know, what I'm saying is West Cork as a brand is now an international brand that these two journalists did on their own. Like, they weren't paid for 5 years to do this, you know?
Mm.
They went out and did it off their own bat. I encountered them many times in the making of the documentary, you know? And they were, and we were not like saying, oh, like in competition. The idea was, let's try and get this story as far out as we can and see if what comes back and see can some, it's kind of like an echo chamber, you know, you're looking for an echo and you just keep shouting and one day you get an echo and that leads somewhere. And there's a few echoes out there. There's a few things that have become apparent and, you know, there's new, I wouldn't say information, but potential information. And the other thing I feel is that, like, reading the tweets and that, I feel that, I like Marie Farrell, you know? And I just sit there wondering why everybody castigates this woman, claiming wrongly that, like, who are you with in the car? What were you up to? All this stuff. And yet nobody ever says, well, what if somebody told her to say what she said and she felt she was helping to solve the murder and then realized, oh my God, maybe it's the opposite.
So Marie Farrell, just for anyone who just can't remember or hasn't updated themselves or watched the thing yet, she is the store owner who identified a man in a black coat at the bridge at the night of the murder. And her story is that she was told to say that.
Yeah. So once she came out with that, she became the demonized person of Ireland. Instead of people going, well, like, okay, let's say 20 years ago, you suddenly had to come out with something that was going to embarrass you, yeah?
Yeah.
And you knew, look, I'm going to look like a perjurer. But, let's say she decides she has to tell the truth. She expected people to go, oh my God, how could this have happened? Who put her up to this? Why was she in this position? And instead the opposite happened. Who are you with in the car? So nobody asked, well, if it wasn't Ian Bailey, who was it?
One of the things that leaps out, even though the murder took place 20 years ago, the locals are still very touched by it. It hangs in the air. There's a scene, an interview you have with the local priest who said prayers over the body of Sophie the morning that she was discovered. And he was still very visibly emotionally upset, talking about it 20 years later. Is that something that surprised you, that when you went into the locality, just how almost fresh it still is in the minds of many of the locals?
Yeah. It struck some kind of a chord, you know. I don't know what was the particular force that set it in. It awakened, I would say, ancestral or tribal memories, you know. It just, I suppose people felt there was a disrespect to the body. And, you know, the last time that might have happened in Ireland was during the famine. But for people who've in a part of the country that probably was most affected by the famine, I think leaving the body out was like struck some bell like echo that they didn't want to hear, you know. And everybody wanted it to be treated with respect and dignity, you know.
Well, Murder at the Cottage, The Search for Justice for Sophie, has just landed yesterday on Sky Crime and Now TV. And if you get a chance, definitely watch it. There's lots of texts coming in, Jim, and people who have binged it even in the whole day yesterday. So a lot of people absolutely loving it. Well done on, I know it's been a long journey, but it's really worth it. It's a great series.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Cheers, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. Lovely to talk to you. That's Jim Sheridan there, film director, screenwriter, producer, talking about Murder at the Cottage, The Search for Justice for Sophie.
Dermot and Dave. Weekdays from 9 a.m. Today.